In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Satan doesn't want you to be happy, but God does. God wants you to be content and happy. And we often get those two absolutely backwards. So I'm going to say it again, because this is pretty much, if you take nothing else away, that's okay. It's the point of the whole sermon. The devil does not want you to be happy. He wants you to be miserable. God wants you to be happy and content and to have peace and joy. He really does. And the fact is, God has right now given you everything you need to be content and happy. You have it right now. God has given it to you, okay? It's not like you got to, for instance, wait until spring comes. Oh, winter, miserable winter. When spring comes, I'll be happy, right? Weather will be warmer. No. You don't have to wait till spring. You don't have to wait until you go on that next vacation to be happy and content. No. You don't have to wait until you retire, if that's coming up soon. You know, you hear that one a lot, just can't wait till I retire. No. You can be happy and content right now. You don't have to wait until you can go golfing again. Don't have to wait until your family comes again. None of this. You have everything you need. God has given you everything so that right now, right here, you can be content, at peace, have joy. You have God's love. You've been baptized. All your sin is forgiven. You have a place in heaven waiting for you. You have hope for every single day, no matter what it brings. You have God's promise that He's going to work everything for your good, no matter what it is. So He's given you everything. Everything you need in Jesus to be content and at peace. Now, the devil, however, doesn't want that. That's what he's up against. He wants to break that, stop that. So his goal is always to make you believe that you're not happy, that you're not content. The devil's goal is to convince you that you need more, that something's missing, that God is holding out on you, that for you to really be happy, you need something more. The grass is somewhere greener. There's greener pastures. And he wants you to always be thinking that way, to be discontent, to be drooling and grumbling over something God hasn't given you. So when Satan comes then into the wilderness to tempt Jesus, Jesus, understand, is content. He's happy. He's at peace. Sure, he was hungry, really hungry. And probably hot, you know, he's in the wilderness and probably tired. He hasn't been eating, you know, that makes you tired. But he's content. He's happy. Here comes the devil, though, and says, oh, Jesus, look at you. You're miserable. Oh, man, you got to be hungry. Don't you want more than this, Jesus? You know, isn't life more than this out here in the wilderness? You need some food. Wouldn't those stones there, you know, make you feel better, make some nice, delicious bread? See, that's how he works. He's trying to convince Jesus that he's not happy, that he'd be happier if he had X, Y, and Z. Or, Jesus, wouldn't, you know, don't you want to see if God really loves you? Why don't you throw yourself off the top of this temple, see what he does? Or, Jesus, wouldn't you love to have right now all the kingdoms and power and glory of the world? Wouldn't that be so much better than this hot, dry desert? And what the devil does, is the reason he's so good at it, is he makes it look so enticing to us. He's really good at that. Yeah, I could be happy with what God has given me, but man, look at what the devil's offering. I mean, his lines, they sound so good. And here's another thing to keep in mind about the devil. When the devil comes to you, he doesn't look like the devil, at least the way we think of it, right? The pictures of the devil that we have made are so deceiving. You know, you look up pictures of the devil and he's going to look devilish. You know, he's going to fiery red, the pitchfork, this kind of stuff. Or the picture that I put in the bulletin, I think that's kind of, you kind of see the same thing there. He's got the pointy mustache, the pointy ears, the kind of beady eyes, crooked eyebrows. And he looks disgusting. Right? So that's deceiving, because if you actually saw the devil like that, if he came to you and looked like that, you'd be like, get away from me. You're disgusting. I don't want anything to do with you. But the thing is, he doesn't look like that. He never does. I mean, the devil is so much smarter than that. He disguises himself, the Bible says, as a beautiful angel of light. He looks awesome. And I mean that in every sense of that word, okay? He comes to, he's like this guy who's going to, you know, show you this better secret way that you don't know about. He's enticing. He's seductive. He's good. So, for instance, the devil has a lot of different appearances. One of them might be, he might appear to you as the guy who just wants you to be happy. Just wants you to be happy. You know, the guy who doesn't live by those old-fashioned rules. You know, he's free living, free loving. Or he might appear to you as he did to Jesus, the guy who's just concerned about you. You look hungry. You know, you're looking like you haven't been eating enough. I just want you to be happy and satisfied. Or, you know, the devil might appear as that beautiful woman who excites your eyes, you know. Or might appear as that handsome, strapping man, you know, that is everything you've dreamed of. The devil can appear as a lot of really good-looking things, and you'll want to go with him. You will want to go. He's got that whole vanity thing down very well. But it's all a lie. It's all a deception, okay? He doesn't want you to be happy at all. He's just trying to convince you that he does. He wants you to be miserable. He wants to take all that peace and that contentment and that joy that God wants for you, and he wants to destroy it. So let's look at how he tries this with Jesus. First, he goes for the belly because he knows where we're weak. Where are all of us weak? Right here, right? He knows he can get us right there. He knows, you know, how good we can feel when we've got a full belly. And when I say belly, though, understand, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff that makes us feel good, right? It might be food, but drinks, pleasure, drugs, you know, adrenaline, whatever, any of it. We like to have that big old full belly, you know, feeling good. Even though we know it might just make us pretty sick, but we don't care. We like it. So the devil goes for Jesus' belly. And Jesus, of course, as you know, he hasn't eaten for a long time. He's pretty hungry. Like his stomach is starting to eat itself hungry. Like he might very well die soon hungry. None of us probably has even remotely been as hungry as he is. So here comes the devil. And remember, he doesn't look like the devil. He's looking really good, really enticing. So what would you say? I was thinking, maybe the devil here looks like one of those beautiful chefs from the Food Network. You know, where and he's got like, you know, when you watch the food shows, they've got like these beautiful stacks of cookies on the table. And all the food is pre-prepared, you know, it looks all nice and fancy. So maybe that's how he comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, you look hungry. Look at all this food I've got, right? You're not happy. You're a miserable wreck. You need to eat. You're going to die. If you're God's son, why are you starving out here? Why are you not eating? Why are you hungry? You should have more. Just tell these stones to become bread here." But the thing is, right, Jesus is happy. He is actually content. He doesn't need the devil to feed him lies covered in chocolate frosting. He doesn't need it. He knows he's God's son. He knows God loves him. And he knows that, hey, God will feed his belly soon enough. So he says, "You know what, devil? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you want me to be happy. I don't believe you care about my contentment or my joy. It is written," Jesus says, "man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You don't need a full belly to be content and happy. You only need God's word. Now, I know that's hard for us to believe. It's actually true. Think about it. What is the thing that keeps us alive, that keeps our heart beating? It's not food. It's God's word. It is God's word that created you in the very beginning, that even brought you into existence. And it's God's word that has given you life eternal in heaven. So what you really need for life is God's word, not food. In fact, we can go without food for several days and still be content and happy. Maybe it's hard. I'm not saying I could do it, but we could, right? Jesus did. We can go with a lot of things, and God will take care of us. It's, in fact, the devil who's always lying to us and saying, "No, you need more, you need more, you need more." So I would ask you, how often does the devil get to your belly? How often does this happen? For me, it happens constantly. How often does the devil convince you that you can't be happy until you've eaten that thing and that thing or gone to that fancy restaurant? Or how many times does he convince you that you can't be happy until you've got that new TV or that new car, those new clothes? Or how many times does he convince you that you won't be happy unless you go get that drink or feed whatever the addiction is? He is a good liar. But the truth is, you can be happy. You can be content. You don't really live by those things. Not by food or drink or anything else. You live by the Word of God. And I know we'll want to argue with that. And we'll want to say, oh, I know, I need that to be happy. I need it to be happy. But you don't. You only need Jesus. Next, the next temptation, the devil goes after faith, after trust. And he tells Jesus that he should throw himself off the top of the temple and see if God will send his angels to catch him. And this is a tricky one. You may not think you're prone to this one, but I think you'll see we really are. See, we can be perfectly at peace and content, and we can be knowing that God will take care of us, but then what the devil does is he comes and he says, well, what if you did that? Well, what if you did this? Would God still love you? Would he still take care of you? What he wants us to do is make little tests for God and see if God will still love us and take care of us. And we do this a lot. We like to set up these little ultimatums. Like, God, if you really love me, then you'll let me get this new job. Or you'll let me get into this school, or you'll let me pass this test, or whatever the case might be. Or God, if you're really God and you really love me, then you'll let me get this girl or that guy, or pretty much whatever I ask, you'll let me have. That's testing God. It's putting God to the test. And that's what the devil wants, because if he can get you testing God, he'll know you'll never be happy. You're going to be miserable all the time, because you're going to be always making these tests, and you'll never know if God really loves you, because you don't know if he's given you X, Y, and Z. It's all a lie. You don't have to test God, okay? God has already been put to the test, and he has passed with flying colors. Do you want to know if God loves you? Here's the test. He gave you the one thing that matters the most to him, his own son. Gave him to die on the cross for your sin. And you know Jesus loves you. He gave willingly his own life for you. So the test is done. You can trust God. He does love you and care about you. He's baptized you into Christ. He gives you over and over his son's body and blood, okay? There's no test needed. He loves you. The devil tries to trick us. He uses that line from Psalm 91. Well, it says, God will command his angels concerning you. But what he does is he rips it out of context. What it actually says in Psalm 91 is that God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. To guard you in your ways. Not, he will not command his angels concerning you if you go off in all these other ways and test God. But he will command his angels to guard you in your ways. The devil is good at twisting God's word, though, and making us think other things. The best example of it is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. When I tell you God wants you to be happy, that's absolutely true. The Bible will tell you that. But the devil will twist that, and he'll tell us, well, God wants you to be happy, so you know, he's not going to mind if you do all these things that are not so good for you. So keep in mind, the devil's very good at twisting God's word. You don't need to test God. You know that he loves you. You can count on that. Finally, last one, the devil tries to get Jesus with power and glory. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world, shows it all the glory. He says, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And this one, he loves to try and get us with also. See, again, even though we can be perfectly content and happy with what God has given us, still the devil will come and say, well, wait a minute, what if you had that? Wouldn't it be so much nicer to have all of it? I think this is one reason where all of us are so fascinated with, you know, celebrity culture. Because we see all that power and glory, and it's just so appealing, and the devil gets us looking at it like, oh, wouldn't we be happy if we had all that? But the truth is, we all know, if we really think about it, that doesn't bring happiness at all. Power and glory does not bring happiness. In fact, it brings a lot of misery for most people. We tend to think that, you know, the more people we know, the more we have, the more control we have, the happier we're going to be. But that's a lie of the devil. Right now, God has given you everything you need to be content and happy and have joy. So Jesus says, I don't believe you. He says, the Lord, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So, you don't need anyone else. The devil is good, and he's really smooth, and he's convincing, but he's always lying to you. You can trust that God has given you everything you need. He's not holding out on you. Remember Adam and Eve, they thought God was holding out on them. Here they are in the Garden of Eden, everything's beautiful and perfect, but the devil said, well, what about that fruit over there? You'd be happy if you had that, right? That's his lie. That's what he's always trying to get us to believe. But we are happy. We are content. God has given us what we need. It's like Paul tells us in the epistle today from 2 Corinthians. We commend ourselves to God in every way. He says we're content and we're happy, whatever the Lord gives us. And so that reading ends with these great words. He says, we are treated as having nothing, yet possessing everything. You have absolutely everything you need to be content and happy. And all, you can just tell the devil to take a hike. You have God's word, you're baptized, you have Jesus, your Savior. So that's what Jesus does right at the end of the reading. Finally, tells the devil, forget about it, I don't believe you. The devil leaves, and what happens? The angels come. And you can rest assured that when you also tell the devil to take a hike, God's angels will be there for you as well, to minister to you and to keep you content and at peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.